No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, and Celia Imrie as Charlotte. Episode 1, Family Business.
Emily, you know, we really ought to have a talk.
God.
About which university you're going to apply for.
Daddy
agrees, don't you, Roger?
What's that, Victoria?
I said you agree.
Oh, yes, certainly. Certainly do. About what?
About having a serious talk to Emily about choice of university.
Oh, yes, too right. Spot on. You know, Emily, love, it's the kind of decision that can affect the whole of the rest of your life.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, the right university gave me the grounding that has led to my being where I am today.
Mm.
Whereas your mother didn't go to university, and look at her now.
What do you mean by that, Roger?
Nothing. Nothing critical, that is. I mean, you're a wonderful mother and homemaker and, of course, wife.
But?
But you're, well, you're not a captain of industry, are you?
Would you like to be married to a captain of industry?
No, no. Appalling fate. Hate it. Hate it. All I'm doing is agreeing with you.
Oh, fine.
It is terribly important that Emily makes the right decision about which university she goes to.
Yes, well, actually, Daddy, I've already decided...
And that decision's not so easy these days.
What do you mean?
Well, all these new places have sprung up and clouded the water. Nowadays, dear, oh dear, anything's called a university. The whole concept of secondary education has become devalued. It all went wrong once they started calling polys universities. I mean, in the old days, there were two proper universities, Oxford and Cambridge. Then there were a few others which just about passed muster. Bristol, LSE, some of the Scottish ones, possibly, and then there were the red bricks, which nobody talked about. But at least in those days, having a degree meant something. Now, when every jumped-up poly calls itself a university, letters after your name mean nothing. And everyone knows the whole thing's just a government ploy to make the unemployment figures look less ghastly.
Dad, I
know what's what. I see all the job applications at work, and let me tell you, if someone's offering a degree in, I don't know, economics and shopping from the Freddie Flange University of Derby, they haven't a snowball's chance in hell of even getting an interview.
So who does have a chance of getting an interview?
Someone who's got a proper degree.
And by a proper degree, you mean one from Oxford or Cambridge?
Oh, by no means. We're very broad-minded these days. We interview people from Bristol and LSE as well. We've even, I'll have you know, got a chap working in my own department, in finance, who went to Manchester University, so there.
Don't you think you're just disgustingly elitist?
And what's wrong with elitism? It's elitism that made this country what it used to be. And do you think it's a coincidence that this country's decline as a world power coincided with allowing people with state education into positions of authority?
Sometimes, Roger, you know, you sound as if you're not 50, but 350.
No, Victoria, I just speak as I find.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. My own father giving me a crash course in fascism.
It's not fascism. I'm talking about educational standards. I'm talking about what constitutes a good education.
Which, in your view, means 3 years spent at Cambridge.
Or Oxford, I'm not narrow-minded.
And you believe it simply because that's the education you had.
Yes, well, all right. It hasn't done me any harm, though, has it?
But you're always telling me that you spent 90% of your time at Cambridge drunk out of your skull.
I may have been drunk, but I was drunk in an environment which was conducive to getting a good education. And what's more, I was getting drunk with some people who've been bloody useful to me in my career since university. You see, that's what you get from going to the right sort of place, contact with the right sort of people. Emily, love, all I'm saying is that you should give very serious thought to which university you're going to apply to.
Oh, don't worry, I have done.
And?
And?
And which university are you going to apply to?
None of them.
What?
Why?
Because I'm applying to drama school instead.
Emily's going to drama school?
Yes, Anna, isn't it brilliant?
Well, I'm not sure, Charlotte. Why is it brilliant?
Because it shows.
Shows what?
That genes will out. I mean, there's poor little Emily who's grown up in that stultifying atmosphere of Beckenham with Roger and Victoria, and yet the vital genetic spark within her has not been extinguished.
Which vital genetic spark are we talking about, Charlotte?
Well, obviously the one that Emily and I share.
Huh?
I mean, I could see from the moment she was born the dangers Emily was up against.
Dangers?
Yes. Growing up in a family with no imagination. Growing up in a family whose only values were material ones. It must have been tough for Emily. The odds were very much against her. Hers was a deprived childhood.
I can't agree with that. She's grown up in an incredibly privileged environment. Foreign holidays, private schools, ballet classes, riding, tennis lessons, drama classes. Emily's always had the best of everything.
In material terms, yes, but I was always absolutely terrified that her soul might be stifled.
Were you?
Oh, yes, Anna, you see, I knew the dangers.
Did you?
From my own experience.
Are you now going to tell me about your deprived childhood?
Yes, I am. I'm fully prepared for you just to mock, but I don't think anyone who hasn't been there can understand what it's like for a genuine, creative, free spirit to grow up in an atmosphere in which they're not understood.
We are still talking about you, aren't we?
Yes, Anna, we are. Growing up in our family, I always had to fight.
The only fighting I remember you doing was to get your own way, something at which I must say you were always remarkably successful.
You see, there you are.
What do you mean?
A perfect example of the point I was making. I was talking about the problems of a free spirit being misunderstood, and immediately, bang on cue, you misunderstand me.
Our recollections of your childhood seem to be very different.
Which reinforces my point yet again. Our recollections are different because you didn't understand me.
My recollections are of you screaming and stamping your foot and generally throwing tantrums until you got what you wanted.
Having a strong personality is part of being a creative person.
Ah, and being spoilt rotten by an overindulgent father. Is that also part of being a creative person?
It was a comfort, at least, in the atmosphere of our family to know that there was one person who appreciated me.
I thought your point was that no one appreciated you.
Anna, I wish you'd stop constantly bringing the conversation round to yourself.
What?
It's Emily we're actually talking about, after all. Emily's free creative spirit and how it's in the genes.
Genes from where?
From me, obviously. Name another member of the family who has any creative talents.
Well!
No, it's very gratifying for me. I mean, my contribution to the gene pool that produced Emily is not something for which I can claim any credit.
I should bloody hope not!
That's just an accident of evolution, but I do think that I can claim credit for the way I encouraged Emily, spotted her talent, nurtured it.
Do you?
Oh, yes. You know, Emily's the daughter I never had.
Ah, and how, by the way, is the daughter you did have?
What?
Giselle, you do have a daughter, you know, Charlotte, or had you forgotten?
No, of course I hadn't forgotten.
So? How is Giselle?
She's a right little pain. Typical bad-tempered, self-centered adolescent. Lives in a world of her own. I don't think I'll ever understand her.
Ah, right.
I hope you don't mind us asking you over, Anna.
No, it's very nice. I mean, at the very least, on the bottom line principle.
What's the bottom line principle?
Any meal you're invited out for is a meal you don't have to cook yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
No, obviously I don't mean just that. It's lovely to see you both.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Lovely to see you too.
So you don't really have to apologise for inviting me?
No, though there is in fact a kind of quid pro quo.
I assumed that. And is the dinner the quid or the quo?
Well...
Because if it's a quid, then what's the quo?
Yes.
Or vice versa. If it's a quo, then what's the quid you're trying to get from me, Roger?
Not me. Can't say mea culpa in this case, for a variety of reasons. Inter alia. That I...
Look, will you two stop rubbing in the fact that I never did Latin?
What? Oh. This evening was Victoria's idea, really, Anna.
Thought it might be. And, Victoria, you want my views on Emily's idea of going to drama school, don't you?
In a way.
Or, to be more specific, you want to ask me whether I would consider having a little talk to Emily, with a view to putting her off the idea of going to drama school.
Well,
Roger?
Yes.
Thank goodness we got there at last. Anyway, sorry, the answer's no.
No to what?
No to the idea of my having a little talk to Emily to put her off the idea of going to drama school.
Oh.
Look, she's 18. She's nearly grown up. This is the kind of decision she has to make for herself.
But it's just so awful. The thought of any daughter of mine going down that road.
Do you make it sound as if she wants to train to be a drug baron or take a degree in genocide?
At least if she was training to be a drug baron, she'd have some economic prospects.
I think you've both got a very out-of-date view of what working in the theatre involves these days. They're not all beggars and vagabonds, you know. I mean, actors get knighted. We've got a few theatrical dames, too. There've even been actors in the House of Lords. And then there's Glenda Jackson. No, I'm not sure that's a recommendation, actually.
Yes, but I still hate the idea of Emily turning out like that.
Like Glenda Jackson?
No!
Oh, come on, how many actors do you actually know?
There aren't that many in Beckenham. Amateur actors, but they don't count. All satirical T-shirts, sandals, and talking too loudly on the 753. Really, the only person in the theatre we know is...
Who?
Charlotte.
Ah, yes. Well, Victoria, Now, of course, I do understand what all the fuss is about.
What do you mean?
Sibling rivalry once again bubbling to the surface.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's not the thought of Emily turning out to be an actress that bugs you. It's the thought of her turning out like Charlotte.
Well,
I really would have thought that after 45 years, you two would have stopped being so jealous of each other.
Me? Jealous of Charlotte? Oh, that's wonderful. Do you think I envy that supposedly insouciant bachelor girl existence? Or the fact that more pathetic men share her bed than go through Heathrow Airport? Is there anything there that anyone could be jealous of?
Not many people could, I agree.
Thank you.
Only you.
Listen, Anna, if you think you could...
Steady on, old thing.
Is that how you see me, Roger? Old? And a thing?
No, of course not, darling. I see you as a...
hopeless case.
No. Nil desperandum, Victoria.
But,
so, Anna, what do you reckon we should do?
About Emily?
Hmm.
I think you should support her.
Support her in turning herself into a Charlotte clone?
No, support her in what she wants to do. Show an interest in her ambitions. Do some research. Find out a bit more about what working in the theatre's really like.
Ah, right. Fine.
Are you sure you couldn't just have a little word with Emily?
No, Victoria, I couldn't. Sorry about the failed quid pro quo. I'm afraid your ulterior motive hasn't worked. But I can still have the rest of my dinner, can I?
Yes.
Just no second helpings, right?
Sorry.
Ah.
Sorry to be late, Charlotte. Had a bit of a problem finding the place. Must have walked past it two or three times. Doesn't look like a restaurant from the outside.
No, Roger, that's the point.
Ah. Still, here I am now, in desperate need of a drink.
I didn't think executives drank at lunchtime in the accountable 90s.
The younger ones don't know. All mimsy, pimsy, Perrier, swilling killjoys have about as much sense of fun as a new Labour MP. When you get to my level, though, you do what you bloody well like, and I always like to have a few drinks at lunchtime. Any objection?
None at all. And it does explain something to me.
What's that?
How on earth accountants manage to get through the day? I've often wondered.
Ah. What's that you're drinking?
It's a blunt instrument.
Oh.
Cocktails here are a speciality. Look, they do a murder weapon, Saturday night special, nuclear fallout, global conflict, ecological disaster.
Could I have a glass of dry white wine, please? It's quite a place, this, isn't it?
Not the kind of place where you usually go out to lunch with your accountancy friend, is it?
No, not that used to being somewhere where I double the average age. Still, you seem to be managing.
Thank you.
What the hell, anyway, you're as young as you feel, eh?
Yes.
Regardless of how you look.
Yes, so do you want to order straight away?
No, just draw breath for a moment, I think, if that's all right with you.
Fine.
Ah. Merci, garçon. Just the ticket. Waiter's not very forthcoming.
No.
Seems to be chatting to everyone else there.
Mm.
Oh, well. Horses for courses. Cheers.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Roger, can we just get one thing out of the way before we start? Did Victoria set you up for this?
Set me up for what?
This lunch.
No, it's my idea. She doesn't even know I'm seeing you.
Really?
Mm.
Let's hope she doesn't find out.
Why not?
Well, you know Victoria's paranoid imagination. She sees affairs everywhere.
Well, yes, but you and me, she'd never think there was anything there.
Why not?
She knows I don't fancy you.
Oh, how?
Well, I've told her often enough. I mean, I can see you have an obvious kind of attraction for the kind of man who goes for that kind of thing, but I'm not one of them.
Right.
A few years back, I might have felt differently when you were... Not now, though. So, no worries on that score? Cleared the air, have I?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Good. Reason I actually want
to
see...
You're hoping to enlist my support to put Emily off going to drama school, then, I'm afraid?
No, last thing on my mind. Rather, the reverse, actually. I want to find out more about the theatre...
What?
...as a career option. If our daughter's serious about becoming an actress...
Not an actress, Roger, an actor.
Eh?
We're all actors now.
Really? Anyway, I was thinking the least I could do was to find out a bit more about the business.
That's very good, Roger.
What?
Calling it the business, that's what we do. People in the theatre call the theatre the business. Never mind. I must say, though, I'm very impressed by what you're doing, finding out about the theatre from one who knows. Was it your idea?
Well, in a way.
So what can I tell you?
The basics, really, the nuts and bolts, you know, career structure.
Career structure?
Yeah.
There isn't one.
What? But, I mean, you train, you get a job.
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Often you don't get a job.
Not at first, maybe, but after you've been doing it for a while...
If you don't get a job, then you can't be doing it for a while, can you?
No.
So you haven't got any experience, so you're even less likely to get a job. On any given day, the vast majority of actors aren't working.
Oh. I'm not sure I fancy my daughter becoming a layabout.
They're not working because there aren't any jobs for them. And if you think not working is a soft option for an actor, well, you're wrong. In many ways, it's harder work being out of work than it is being in work.
Uh-huh.
Acting, Roger, is a vocation. Many are called, but few are chosen. I've known the anguish of being out of work many times, and you blame yourself. Of course you do. At times, you know, I've had doubts about my talent.
Really?
Yes, do you know, sometimes I've even imagined that the reason I don't get jobs is because I'm not actually a very good actress.
And isn't it?
No, it isn't! You don't have to tell me about the pains of being out of work, the poverty that is there. I know, I've been there.
Mm. Of course, in your case, having a private income must have helped, mustn't it?
That's not the point.
Right. From what you say, the theatre doesn't sound a very secure profession.
Security is for wimps. Who cares about security?
I do, actually.
Oh. Well, was there anything else you wanted to ask me about the theatre? You know, as a career option?
There are a few other details, but I'm sure we'll get round to them in the course of our lunch.
What kind of details?
Well, things like the pension scheme.
The pension scheme? You are priceless.
What?
Oh, right, well, maybe we ought to look at the menu.
Yes, of course. I said, do they do anything without couscous?
Apparently, it's quite common. Well, according to what Roger was told. I mean, it's just taken for granted that people starting out in the theatre will go to bed with people to get work.
Really?
And 90% of the men in every company are gay.
Oh, that's good news for Emily, then, isn't it?
Why?
Well, if they're gay, they won't want her to go to bed with them, will they?
No, that's true. But equally, there won't be prospects either, will they?
Prospects?
Look, when a young girl starts in most professions, there's always a good chance that she's going to meet someone older, more mature.
Richer.
Well, yes, of course. And, you know, it may develop into something.
I thought that's what you were worrying about with Emily going into the theatre, it developing into something.
No, I don't mean it developing into that sort of something. I mean it developing into a more permanent sort of something.
A marriage sort of something, perhaps?
Yes.
Victoria, if you were to talk to a few young girls of Emily's age, you'd find that generation doesn't think of marriage as their only goal in life.
Oh, of course they say that. And they keep reading magazine articles which extol the glories of being single, the Bridget Jones syndrome. But it's nonsense, really. What they actually want is marriage.
Why?
Well, because marriage is the ultimate fulfilment of a woman's womanhood. It gives her strength, security, serenity.
Have you found that in your marriage?
And an unmarried woman is a woman who is bitter and disappointed and feels she's never realised her potential. That's why unmarried women are so desperate.
Like me, you mean?
No, not like you, obviously. I mean, no, I didn't mean... Of course, there are going to be exceptions.
Thank you.
But what the majority of young girls want is still marriage. And most of them start a job in the hope that they're going to meet someone there who'll turn out to be a suitable husband.
If I were you, I still wouldn't voice that theory too loudly when Emily and her friends are around.
Have you ever been asked to go to bed with someone in order to get a job, Anna?
Of course. Happens all the time in the world of dentistry.
Does it? And have you ever succumbed?
How do you think I got my current job?
You and Eddie? I'd never have thought that was possible.
And you'd be dead right, because it wouldn't be possible. I was joking, Victoria. You've seen Eddie. I know you've got me firmly marked down as desperate, but I've never been that desperate.
No.
What you're talking about in the theatre happens in every other profession. You put older men and younger women together. Come to that, put older women and younger men together. Put human beings together. There's going to be sexual attraction. There are going to be affairs.
Yes. Except in accountancy.
Why is accountancy the exception?
Well, what is an accountant? And accountants only go to bed with people they're married to.
Ah.
Anna, you haven't noticed anything different about Roger, have you?
No, never.
I mean, recently. You don't think he's changed, do you?
No. What sort of change are you talking about?
I don't know. He seems disappointed.
that he's married to me. That he's not married to somebody else.
Like who?
Well, say, a captain of industry.
A captain of industry?
Oh, Victoria, you've got the wrong end of the stick.
No, I haven't. And you were there when you called me an old thing. Do you know what that is, Anna?
I'm not sure.
It is a thing that is old.
Yes, well, then I did know. I thought maybe it was a trick question.
And he's disappointed in me because I don't do Latin. Anna, you don't think Roger's having an affair, do you?
What?
A friend of mine, Susie, saw him in a restaurant Wednesday lunchtime and he was with a woman.
He does deal with women in the course of his work. It was probably just a business meeting.
Susie said it wasn't the kind of restaurant you go to for a business meeting.
Oh, that's ridiculous. How can she know that?
Because she was there with her lover.
Oh. What was the woman like?
Terribly tarted up, Susie said.
Younger or older?
Younger! But I bet she can speak Latin!
Hello?
Emily, it's me. Is your father there?
No, he's not back yet, nor's Mum.
Well, I know that because she's only just left my place. I'm afraid she's in a bit of a state.
So, what else is new?
Yes, right, take your point. But look, do you think you could ask Roger to ring me?
Sure.
As soon as he gets in.
That bad, huh?
Well, it's,
Look, I didn't ask. You don't have to tell me, okay?
Okay. And you?
And me what?
You're all right?
Meaning, am I still planning to destroy all my parents' bourgeois aspirations for me by persisting in trying to get into drama school?
That's not what I meant.
No? So why did they invite you over for dinner the other night? They were setting you up to have a little talk to me, weren't they?
All right, I admit that's why they invited me over, but I said no. I said you were old enough to make up your own mind about what you wanted to do with your life.
Thank you.
And that is what you want to do with your life? Train to be an actress?
I think so. I'm pretty certain, actually. But having grown up in a soap opera that's my family, I'm not sure I need training.
You could be right. There isn't a man involved, is there?
What?
I'm sorry. It's just in the past there have been one or two occasions when your potential choice of career...
has been influenced by the man I happened to fancy at the time. Is that what you're saying, Anna?
Well, I suppose, in a way.
Listen! What no one in this bloody family seems to realise is that I am 18 years old. I'm an adult, so far as any legal requirements are concerned. I can drive, I can drink alcohol, I can breed, I can die for my country. I can certainly make up my own mind about what I want to do with the rest of my life without being influenced by some boy. And I find it kind of ironic that I'm only offered advice about what I should be doing with my life by people who have failed totally to make anything of theirs. My bloody mother and father! I can only echo the prayer uttered by every child since the beginning of history. Please, God, may I make a better go of it than my bloody parents ever did. Have I made myself clear, Anna? So now, do you have any objection to the idea of my becoming an actress?
No, Emily. You've passed the audition, so far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I think that's Daddy. Dad, Anna on the phone. For you.
Hello?
Roger, have you been having clandestine lunches you haven't told Victoria about?
Say one thing for you, Anna. No one can accuse you of messing about with pleasantries. Get straight to the point, don't you?
So have you?
No, don't think so.
No lunches with attractive younger women?
Can't think of any.
Not one on Wednesday?
Wednesday? No, I don't... Oh, I had lunch with Charlotte.
So?
She's not a younger, attractive woman.
You know, Roger, you have within you the ability to say things that would make your wife very happy.
Do I?
Yes.
You try and tell Victoria that. She says my conversation's about as romantic as the annual report from an engineering firm.
Take my word for it. You say to Victoria what you just said to me about Charlotte. It'll work.
Really?
Oh, yes. But, Roger, why on earth didn't you tell Victoria you were going to have lunch with Charlotte?
Oh, come on, Anna. You know what Victoria's like. She'd have read all kinds of things into that, wouldn't she?
Yeah, yes, she would.
No, it was a case of least said, soonest mended. Anyway, it was your fault.
My fault?
You said I ought to find out more about the theatre, so I was asking Charlotte about it.
Ah.
And you know, actors don't even have a proper pension scheme.
You know, Anna,
I am a very lucky woman. I beg your pardon.
I've got a lovely home, three adorable children, and a husband who's as romantic towards me now as he was the day we got married.
Yes. Though, in Roger's case, being as romantic as the day you got married might not mean...
You know, getting older's not all bad.
I've never said it was.
So long as you do it gracefully. So long as you don't tart yourself up, try to make yourself look younger. I mean, nobody wants to look like mutton dressed as lamb.
No.
Except, of course, for our dear sister.
Ah.
Do you know, last night Roger said that Charlotte was a... No, no, it doesn't do to spread that sort of thing. Might sound uncharitable. I mean, generally speaking, Roger is the most generous of men towards other people. But on the rare occasions when he does feel moved to criticise someone, he can get quite... Dear Charlotte, must be really difficult for a woman whose stock in trade has always been their looks. You know, who never really had anything else to offer. When those looks start to go...
Mm-hmm.
No, as I say, I am a very lucky woman, very fulfilled.
Good. So, no more worries about Emily's plans for the future?
Emily's 18, Anna. She's of an age to make up her own mind about what she wants to do with the rest of her life.
Yes, of course.
I know you're a bit of a traditionalist about that kind of thing.
What?
But I think my daughter should be allowed to follow her instincts. Become what she wants to become in life.
Even if that means becoming like Charlotte?
Oh, there's no danger of that. Emily and I had a long talk about the whole business last night. Real girly chat it was.
Good.
And I did raise the matter of Charlotte. I wasn't critical, of course, but I did just say that I wasn't sure that Charlotte was the perfect role model for any daughter of mine. And I wasn't entirely happy about the idea of Emily modelling herself on my younger sister. And do you know what Emily said?
No, but I have an inkling you're about to tell me.
Emily said, "Good God, Mummy!" She actually called me Mummy. What on earth makes you think I want to turn out like Charlotte? When I said I wanted to be an actress, I meant I wanted to be a modern actress. All that flamboyant posing Charlotte goes in for is horribly out of date. Charlotte is really old-fashioned.
Emily said that?
I promise. Absolutely verbatim.
Do you know what you just said, Victoria?
What?
It was Latin.
Oh, was it? There you are, then.
In episode 1 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget played Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, Bill Nye played Roger, and Natalie Walter, Emily. Music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.